Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the NFL Wild Card Prediction Show. We're here, D'Anthony's playoff time. Whew, a little nip in the air here. Heard it's going to be, I think, 8 degrees in Kansas City this weekend. So that should be a fun one.
Yeah, there's a low pressure cold front moving through the Midwest.
Okay.
Right now. So it's going to be pretty brutal this weekend. Anywhere outdoors in the Midwest, probably. I mean, Buffalo is probably going to be kind of fucked up. There's a game there.
Should be fun.
Houston will be fun. Kansas City's going to suck. Detroit, is that a dome?
Dome.
Ford Field?
Yeah, dome.
And then the other one's in Raymond James, but they may have like heavy rain there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's that time of year, right?
It sure is, dude. Even in Austin, my neighbor hit me up.
God, it rained like a motherfucker the other day.
Man, shout out Casey. My neighbor hit me up and he said, "Hey, dude, I just ordered hose bibs for Monday. Apparently in Austin, it's going to be a high of like 25 degrees on Monday."
You probably don't need a hose bib for that, but
I don't know.
If you're talking
to a guy who doesn't want to risk it anymore.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's got to be like, it either needs to get down to the teens, like mid 15, like 10 to 15 degrees, or it needs to be under freezing for a while, like 16, 20 hours or something like that. But it never hurts to be cautious. Yeah. I mean, if you have a house that was built after 2018, you're probably fine.
Yeah,
actually 2015.
I do now, but the old house was not.
Yeah. I mean, they started replacing most metal pipes on the internal part are now plastic.
Right.
So they don't do that. So, right. But you're a fucking retard, so you'll figure out a way to fuck it up.
Not me, dude.
No, you will.
I didn't build the goddamn house.
I told you that last time to just turn the water off to your house at the main at the street.
Right.
And your contractor told you not to, and you believed him instead of me.
I did.
This is why I
paid the price for it.
Yeah, when I got a new build, I made sure with the pipe layers to be really, really specific. Well, I had my wife do it, but she was...
You had your wife with the pipe layers.
Oh my gosh, every day at the construction site. She would be there and she would just be like, "I gotta go get some pipe, like deal with the pipe layers." She'd be there for hours, and you could always. They did a good job because I would always hear her. I would be in the car watching the baby, and I would always hear her just screaming yes.
Yeah.
So like they were obviously
doing a great job.
Yes. Yeah.
It was good for them.
It was good. They were great, great crew.
Yeah, good for them, man. Maybe you can recommend them out. As far as at the NFL is concerned, we'll get to that in a second here. Want to recap the national championship, which was an absolute fucking disaster, not only financially, but just to watch. I mean, to go out on a fucking dud of a game like that, 2 years in a row now, we've had just awful fucking games.
I mean, let's not compare last year's game to this year. It was a one-score game into the fourth quarter.
Washington is this year's TCU, in my opinion.
It's not even remotely close.
Fuck them.
Not even
close. Have you ever seen a big-time quarterback choke like that in a national championship?
No, Penix had his worst game of the season. But, like...
Career.
Washington...
Career.
Washington easily, like, fixed the problems that they had on defense in the first quarter.
I agree.
Their defense kept them in that game.
They did.
It was...
Defense was great. Look... You're going to have a couple big runs like that out of Michigan, but after that, they shut them down the rest of the game, especially in the second half. Penix, though, and those fucking wide receivers, they didn't do him any favors either. Every time, though, somebody was running towards Penix.
Rome was wide open in that second quarter.
There were so many fucking people that were wide
Dunst
open.
Oh, Dunst, too, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Same guy.
He was wide the fuck open on that. and he just threw it back shoulder inside for no reason.
No.
Throw it over his fucking outside shoulder where he's running. What are you doing?
He's just fucking scared.
Well, what I think...
This is what we talked about on the preview show. If Michigan's front four could get pressure on those guys, that secondary issue wouldn't have mattered. And that's kind of how it turned out, to be honest.
Well, here's the thing. I think Penix... This is my honest opinion. I think Penix was used to the Pac-12 defenses. Mm. And you can throw off your back foot and wing it around and be fun and flirty with it like Pat Mahomes there. The best defenses were all in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah.
The top four defenses were in the Big Ten this year.
Mm.
Who?
All right.
Who is better?
Texas and Alabama.
Michigan just won the national championship.
Yeah, sure.
Ohio State's defense?
Michigan was great. Ohio State had an elite defense. I think Penn State had a... No, it wasn't. Look at that Ole Miss game.
That's one game they played.
What Ole Miss game exactly?
I know Chop Robinson wasn't playing, but like, dude, they got like Ole Miss did whatever they wanted in that bowl game.
Oh, but we're not doing bowl games anymore. Yeah.
I know
we're not doing that. I don't even know who played if they cared.
I think watching Ohio State in person, like that is absolutely an elite defense, and I think Michigan has an elite defense too.
Yeah,
but the numbers were definitely aided by a total lack of offense in the Big Ten.
Yeah, you know how Iowa had to score 25 points a game in the Big Ten West to like keep their OC.
Sure.
I believe the majority of the Big Ten did not average 25 points a game.
But either way, with those defenses, what's the answer there? Because we just saw it. We just saw them shut down Bama. We saw them shut down Washington. I mean, it's hard not to give Michigan's defense credit in that game.
Michigan for sure. Ohio State for sure. But like,
Penn State had a really good fucking defense, man. I mean, look, Ohio State and Penn State. Or Michigan had the same fucking problems with Penn State's defense.
Penn State held Michigan to 24.
And held Ohio State, I think, to 20?
I don't think Michigan's offense was that great. J.J. McCarthy just kind of got by on... He handed the ball off, right? Like, he's not a great quarterback.
Nick Saban actually said it in the presser afterwards. He said that team reminded him of, like, an old-school Ravens team. And I agree. You don't have a flashy quarterback. You don't have any flashy wide receivers. You got great runners. You got a great defense. And then you have a solid decision maker. I think J.J. McCarthy only had 10 completions in the whole fucking game.
And he didn't have like a great individual on defense. I mean, Will Johnson's awesome. They had their secondary. But like as a unit together, just elite.
Yeah. It's just a total team effort. And I'm going to go back to something you said last week about this transfer portal bullshit and whether or not you're developing players versus bringing him in. Mm-hmm. And we said, we'll see what happens with Penix. He fucking folded. I don't know if that's the way. I just watched Ohio State for the last 2 weeks pick off every top transfer portal guy there is. I don't know if that's the answer. We'll see with what Will Howard can do with Ohio State. Yeah. And I know they just got Judkins, the best running back in the nation, as well from Ole Miss. But shit, man.
I think if you're going to do that, I think that transfer stuff can work if it's underclassmen or juniors who are going to be there for two more years after that. But taking a fifth-year senior, when it's never worked, not once.
Right.
I mean, academically speaking, Burrow was a senior when he came over, technically, right?
Yeah, so he was a very smart kid. He graduated Ohio State in three years. Right? Yeah. He's a smart guy.
Academically speaking, he was in his fourth year, but he was only in his second year playing football when he went to LSU.
Correct.
So he played three seasons in college, and he had one shitty season, then he came back and did it. I mean, you talk about putting great teams together, even at the NFL or NBA level, a lot of times it takes a year to get on board.
Yeah.
Like, remember the fucking Heat? It took them a year. With all that talent,
yep.
Compared to the rest of the East over there, still took them a year to fucking really get themselves together. Even if it's a senior, if you get a senior and he's got a fifth year of eligibility, if he had a redshirt year, fine. But a guy that's a fifth year, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like there's no evidence to suggest that's ever going to work.
I think what you need to do is go on Google, figure out solutions for depression, just like J.J. McCarthy, and then act out those practices.
How fucking awful was that? Watching him meditate and all that other bullshit. And you see the sports psychologists on the sidelines talking to the players, holding their heads over there. And I was like, is this what this has come to? Fuck off. But real quick, back to the Ohio State thing, that fucking running back at Ole Miss is a freshman.
He's a sophomore now, yeah.
Yeah, so he's going to have two more years.
Probably to go pro, right? Yeah.
And then, but the problem is that's going to push out Dallin Hayden. and the other talented kids. How does that work recruiting wise? And this is a question as an Ohio State fan that I have. Like, why would you push out another quarterback, a young quarterback who's great, another young running back who's great, for these other kids to try to learn the system when they've already been in the system for a year? Like, I'm not a fan of it.
Bob talks about this all the time in baseball. It's the soft rebuild, right? And it is almost always a mistake to not just go full fucking rebuild.
Yeah.
And for a place like Ohio State that already has the recruiting on lockdown for the most part, man, you haven't won since 2014. Mm-hmm. Take a year, build a team around a guy for 2 years, 3 years, especially the quarterback, man. You can't fucking have they've had a new quarterback every year since Justin Fields, right?
Well, so Fields was, I think, 2 years. Stroud was 2 years.
Oh, Stroud was 2 years.
Because you forget about the COVID years.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't count, though. Haskins, Stroud, and then fucking this guy. It's been 3 years in a row with a new quarterback, basically, if you don't count that COVID year. So, you know, you need time together and consistency to fucking be good at this
shit. I agree, man. And so watching, you know, what's transpired over the last 2 weeks, everybody's like, oh, man, you must be amped. Not really. I like the young guys. I like the two young quarterbacks we had. Now one of them is going to leave. One of the young running backs who I loved is going to leave now, and it sucks. It sucks for the kids. It sucks for the fan base, because, you know, are we going to do this every year is root for some other kid from some other team? And now they're mine. No, that kid from Ole Miss had a fucking amazing year there. So what if he wins a national championship with Ohio State? It was just like, all right, it's just NFL free agency at this point. So, yeah. My bitch sesh is over, but Penix, man, god damn it, that motherfucker cost me a lot of money.
Wasn't good.
Jesus Christ.
No, he wasn't. I mean, all that
throwing, I wouldn't draft him.
He does do that, to your point. He does do that, throwing off his back foot shit on a regular basis. It wasn't just because of the pressure, but from my perspective, he was, excuse me, he was 27 for 51,
yeah.
Right? I would rather have had him be like 27 for 45 and had taken six sacks. Take the sacks instead of throwing the dumb ball.
Yeah.
Right? Like those two picks were fucking devastators.
Oh,
right?
Crushing.
I mean, goddamn. And then I think,
especially that one on the sideline where homeboy,
he threw in a double coverage on a fucking, so this is, we talked about this like 2 months ago, I think, where young quarterbacks in the NFL, and I guess it happens in college as well, there's this out route, and you get to choose between, as the it's a double out to the left or right side, usually to the left side, and the quarterback gets to choose to throw to the near guy who's about 7 yards away, mm-hmm. or the far guy who's about 20 yards away. They always choose, young guys always choose the far guy, but then instead of you have to look the guy off first and then come back to that if you're going to make that pass.
So there's a little intermediate route.
You have a DB and a safety squeezed in on about a fucking 10-yard stretch right mm-hmm. there, and if they're not fooled or you're not precision accurate, it gets picked off every time. And that's exactly the ball he threw right there.
He was just shook. I mean, there was a fucking check down that he airmailed by 10 yards.
Oh, yeah. And Herbstreit, over and over again, would bring up the replay and see the guys that he missed, the reads that he missed, who were wide open. The whole fucking thing was a goddamn mess.
Like, props to fucking Michigan's defense for sure. But yeah, there were guys, if Penix played like he did against Texas, where he was just pinpoint and hitting his guys in stride, I think it's a totally different game.
So
yeah,
do I.
It seems like, with how many wide open dudes he missed, because the receivers were not having problems getting open.
None.
Well, I mean, we talked about that. Michigan's secondary is not that great.
Yeah.
They got one guy who's really fucking
good.
No,
they are really good. He's got
one guy who's really fucking good. But
they
look,
have the two. They have Will Johnson, and they have a Stencil or whatever the fuck.
Whatever his name is. But Ohio State's receivers torched him with a shitty quarterback. Penix has two great wide receivers, and he was second in the Heisman.
He was scared.
He should have been able to exploit them. They were wide open all fucking game.
He was scared, man.
I know. And it's just like, man, I cashed out a fucking national championship ticket. You guys were here. I made this pick in fucking August. I cashed it out to put it on Washington based on what I had seen the last fucking 3 weeks out of Penix, and the lights were too bright. He walked out in a fucking ski mask, too, on the field. Did you see that? And I was like, oh, shit. During pregame, I was like, god damn, I'm going to win a lot of money tonight. It turned out he just robbed the fan base and most of us gamblers here. So, yeah, am I pissed about the money? Sure. But I'm even pissed that we just didn't have a fucking good game. I just want to see one good game at the end of it.
It would have been nice to see a better game, to be. I mean, the first quarter was great. watching Edwards fucking light it up. I mean, he had two carries for 86 yards and two touchdowns.
He's great.
You know what I mean?
Look,
and then
Corum is great. Edwards is great. The JJ McCarthy shit. I don't understand what the hype is for. And would you even draft that kid?
Six or seven round, maybe. Just to, like,
yeah,
because he's a super smart guy. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, generally speaking. So he's probably going to be a good clipboard guy, and then probably a good coach at some point too, right?
Maybe. Or I guess you could toss him on the 49ers.
Who knows? But that's the thing in these JJ McCarthy. They scored 34 points, right, in this game. Four touchdowns for the offense in this game. And
all runs, right?
All runs. Yeah.
One was obviously the extremely short field. The near pick six.
Sure, yeah. But what I mean to say is, like, he threw the ball 18 times, which is a small sample size, but no mistakes. No mistakes. He does a really good job of throwing the ball away or running to a position where he can slide or throw the ball away instead of making mistakes. Penix, on the other hand, stays in the pocket and makes mistakes.
Yep.
Now, there's a middle ground that you can get to in between those two positions where you're also mobile and you get out of the pocket and make a good throw, which is McCarthy's not.
No.
He's not going to get out of the pocket. He's not Patrick Mahomes.
What was it, Rob? Michigan had five turnovers all year, and three of them were against
were against Bowling Green.
Yeah.
Michigan had five turnovers, four against Bowling Green.
Yeah, and when I have a confusing game like this, I try to go back to the stats and see what I missed as far as, like, gambling-wise and what happened during something like this. I'm just going to go through the team stats real quick. I always go to the team stats and look it up because everybody out there was like, oh, Michigan dominated. They really didn't if you look at the stats. First downs, Washington had 17. Michigan had 16 in this game. Third down efficiency, 2 for 14 for Washington. Awful number.
Mm-hmm.
Even worse for Michigan, 1 for 10.
Yeah.
1 for 10.
They were bad on third down all night. Like, really bad, which is that of all the things that Washington did on defense, big plays on third down, man, they fucking lit it up. That's who you really got to feel bad for here is the Washington defense, who's been criticized, including by us, all year.
Uh-huh.
It's not like they sucked, but you look at them next to an Oregon or any of the teams in the fucking SEC or Big Ten, you're like, all right, they're soft, right? And in the defensive side, I think of them like they're like the college version of Miami, basically, right?
Well,
a lot of points, soft defense.
Yeah, and what happened for me personally in this was the USC game. I don't know if you watched it. I watched it. I was up late. I had some money on it, mm-hmm. On that over. But Washington's defense was non-existent. That game was, 55 to 45 or some bullshit. Every play was, 60 yards for Caleb Williams and those guys. And I was like, man, Oregon's going to trash them. Then I bet on Oregon against Washington in the championship game. Washington's defense shut Oregon down in the second half, mm-hmm. and they were able to roll in that game. So I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And then even in this, I mean, I'm looking at the fucking numbers here. Time of possession.
Same.
Identical. Mm-hmm. 30 minutes and 45 seconds for Washington, 29-16 for Michigan.
But
here,
the big difference,
rushing yards is the big difference.
Well, I mean, certainly the rushing yards is a big difference and four rushing touchdowns, obviously, because it produced actual points. But as far as how clock management went, it didn't make a big difference there.
Nope.
Because they had so many long runs,
yeah.
Right? But the key number is the two turnovers. One of those turnovers is Washington very close to the red zone, and with Penix probably going to score, pick six. That's a 14-point swing right there, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, that's like 28-21 now. And then there's another pick that led to a fucking touchdown, a rushing touchdown, right? So two bad decisions by Penix lost this game. So you got to wonder how that affects his draft capital at this point. Like, he look at the fucking back of his baseball card. It's multiple knee surgeries, and then a guy who in the big game had the worst game of his fucking career.
And then he ended up going to the hospital afterwards it looked like a hip injury or something like that, or ribs or something.
There's no way I would draft him.
No, me neither.
Like, in any round.
No.
I wouldn't draft him. He's just like, there's how much scar tissue is around that knee at this point? You know what I mean?
Both knees. So I wouldn't do it. But here's what I will say to Michigan here. Hats off to them for sticking together as a team during a year full of endless turmoil. I mean, Jesus Christ, you start off the season, Harbaugh suspended for three games. get suspended for the last three games. So he missed half the season.
And the first three, that was the hamburger suspension, right?
Yeah. That was, yeah, totally.
Two separate suspensions.
For two totally different things.
If only they could overcome all this adversity that they put upon themselves. I know.
Well, they were genuinely fucked over with the first suspension. Like, that's insane.
I agree with that. But here's the thing. As a kid who's 18 to 22 years old, because they don't have a bunch of fuck-all fifth-year, six-year players on this team. From kids that are 18 to 22 years old,
yeah, McCarthy
to
was
deal
a sophomore.
With all this outside bullshit, mm-hmm. Was pretty fucking impressive. For Blake Corum to come back, mm-hmm. when he could have gone first round last year in the NFL draft.
He's not even first round this year.
Probably not because he's very, very small, and we saw that a lot this year. But for him to even just come back and do it and not take the money, that's impressive.
You know what's really impressive is the stupidity of the Carolina Panthers. They could have taken CJ Stroud, yep. and they took. Oh my God!
They like Bryce Young, though. If you ask any Carolina Panther fan, they still like Bryce
and the
Young.
Players like
yeah,
him.
But that's,
I will
that,
see.
That's to me, Carolina Panthers fans liking Bryce Young is like a woman who gets beat by her husband every day, saying he's a good man. You don't know him. Like, no, he's 5'9". He sucks, dude. Get him out of here.
I'm not sure. It was a tough one, man. I mean, look. Stroud, the knock on him was he couldn't win the big game. We'll find out in this offseason if that was true or not. I would imagine these sanctions will come down in the next 6 months on Michigan to see what this cheating scandal actually
was.
We just
saw how Stroud performs in the NFL in a fucking do-or-die game.
We did, but he lost two games to Michigan. And
yeah, but that was under shady circumstances.
I understand
right?
that. So I think if we get those answers...
And also, he like fucking...
Then I'll be able to give you a...
Here's what I think. I think... Jackson Smith and Jigma fucking what do you call it? What's the word? Not convalescing. What is it called when you fake an injury? When you're milking an injury, there's a word for it. Malingering. I think Jackson Smith and Jigma malingered for two fucking years with him.
Right? I hate him. So
like
I
you can't count the COVID thing or. Wait, he didn't. Was it twice he lost? Because the COVID year they didn't play Michigan.
No.
Nobody. They lost. They're on a three game.
COVID
losing streak.
Is when they quit. The spread came out at 30
Michigan
and a half.
Quit, yeah.
And then they quit on. I'll never forget this. Usually, we're about to do the show. They quit on a Tuesday. And they said, oh man, we're worried about COVID and everything else. The spread was 30 and a half, the highest in the history of the rivalry. And then they went to practice the next day. And it was like, what the fuck are we doing? What are you doing? Yeah.
So he lost just twice, not three times then, right?
Stroud, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was his only two games against Michigan.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, never forget 2019, 2020, fucking Michigan fans calling for Harbaugh's head.
Well, he was 0-6 against Ohio State. 0-7 if you count
game.
The COVID thing. Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, it's a good example of, like, right now, if you're an Ohio State fan and you're pissed off at Ryan Day.
I agree.
Because you lost one fucking game a year.
Yeah.
Maybe be patient.
I agree. I agree. I'm fine with that.
I don't think Ryan Day is a great coach. Maybe he's a great offensive coordinator. You can't take that away from him. But as managing the squad, there's technical mistakes that are being made.
CEO mistakes.
Yeah, it's not that he's fucking putting the wrong personnel on the field or something like that, or he's not doing a good job of recruiting or whatever. I think the strategy of bringing in quarterbacks that he's going to get into now is not a good idea. But maybe he's the one that can get it to work. But the technical mistakes, like that fucking Notre Dame coach at the Ohio State game.
Yeah.
A mistake like that.
Marcus Freeman.
That makes me think that you're a good coordinator and not a great coach. Like, what's the dude's name that left New England, the offensive coordinator, to go to Notre
McDaniels.
Dame?
McDaniels.
No, to go to Notre Dame.
Oh, Charlie Weiss.
Charlie Weiss back in the day. Charlie Weiss, one of the most brilliant offensive minds in the history of football, goes to take over to manage an entire team, and it's like, yeah, it's garbage.
It falls apart.
Right? Some people just can't do that second job. We'll see. Ryan Day might be okay.
But you know, I will say this about Ryan Day and Heartline, probably the best recruiters in the nation. I mean, Jesus Christ, how many kids are they pumping out of there?
I think Heartline should be the coach of that team.
Well, we'll see.
To be quite honest.
I like his fire, dude.
Because Tressel's coming in as AD next year, allegedly. We'll see if it happens,
so.
But that's the word on the street. Tressel coming in as AD and then promoting Heartline or something like that, and go like, look, USC and Oregon and Washington and all these teams are coming over to the Big Ten now. It's shit's about to change.
Yeah.
So what is it that you do really well at Ohio State? You got great receivers, better than anybody in the country. Ohio State and Alabama.
Typically known for quarterbacks and wide receivers.
Nobody can fuck with Alabama or Ohio State in and wide receivers especially, mm-hmm. but probably wide receivers and running backs, we combine them. They both have great defenses. I really think you need to, I think you need to go on a fucking 3-year build to, and you like Ohio State with the way that they can recruit a 3-year build with a quarterback that starts off as a fucking freshman or sophomore and works his way through there. They could win 2 titles. They could win 2 out of 3 years or 2 in a row. Mm-hmm. They've got the fucking talent to do it.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating to see them.
And that, by the way, is
every year for 10 years now.
I know, man. And if you look at it, look at the NFL guys, too, because C.J. Stroud's going to win Rookie of the Year.
Garrett Wilson. Fucking
Chris Olave.
Olave. I mean, are you kidding me,
Who else? On the defensive side, you would Chase Young, Defensive Player of the Year.
The Boses.
Rookie of the Year. Both Boses, Rookies of the Year. Marshawn Lattimore, Rookie of the Year defensively. And then you have all that offensive talent every single fucking year. It's nuts, dude.
And by the way, that's more or less kind of what happened with throughout Alabama's history with Nick Saban.
Yep.
They win every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? They have a great team every year. Maybe they lose 1 or 2 games. You know what I mean? And then they win again. And then they have years that are whatever. Like, they'll get close to the playoff or they'll lose in the SEC championship game. And then they win in their national championship.
What's kind of cool, though, is October 5th, next year, we get a rematch of the national championship. Michigan goes to Seattle.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Big Ten football, baby.
Shit. Oh, that's right. God damn, dude.
Well, that's like Ohio State. Do what you do great.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And put that on the field. You know, I just think somebody, the way that the Red Sox adopted Moneyball after Oakland had success with it,
mm-hmm.
And then they won, what, 2 championships in 4 years or whatever the fuck it was. 4 years? It was
they won in 04 and 07.
And
I think by the time after 07, everyone had kind of adopted at that point. Yeah.
So whomever the first blue blood organization with good recruiting that puts this into play, like what happened, what you talked about the other day in college basketball, where they stopped the one and done shit for the most part, or at least maybe you had one and done guy, but not like Kentucky where they had 3 1 and done guys every year, like Andrew Wiggin and whomever the fuck else. Like that, you have to have a core together for multiple years.
Michigan just did that.
Georgia did it.
Yep.
Georgia has only won. Like, we made fun of Stetson Bennett for 3 fucking years. They won 2 titles in a row.
Yeah. But
the first team to go back to back in fucking who knows how long.
Harbaugh did it.
Not that long.
Yeah.
Alabama did it.
But
like 16, 17, something like that. Maybe 13.
No, because didn't they lose one of those to Clemson?
Yeah, Clemson.
They did go back to back, though. Maybe it was earlier than that.
They didn't go back to back with Coker.
No, I think check the last 10 years. So I know Ohio State in the four playoff team BCS. It was Ohio State's and then Michigan bookended. And I think Alabama had 3 during that time. Georgia had 2 and then Clemson had 2.
They won in 11 and 12.
Mm, okay.
So they went back to back in BCS. 10
years apart.
Oh, they didn't deserve that. I know what you're talking. They didn't deserve that one. Hey, where they had to play LSU.
They got it, baby.
Well, it was only because Ohio State had to fucking forfeit the bowl game.
Let's that bullshit. See.
But either way, can't wait for next year. Harbaugh, look, it's a fucking ultimate walk-off. Fuck you. He's going to the NFL. However, he's not going to the Bears. The Bears just announced right before we went on air that they're keeping their coach, which I have zero idea why.
And hiring a fucking OC and probably going to draft a quarterback. This is just textbook not what to do as a GM.
God damn, dude. It's
start
crazy.
Fresh.
Yeah, so
it's crazy.
Alabama in 11 and 12, and the last time before that was Nebraska, 94 and 95. And then the time before that was Alabama, 78, 79. So since 78, 4 teams have gone back-to-back.
Yeah.
In the last 50 years, basically.
It's hard, 40, man.
40 years, 45 years or so. It's like...
And with Harbaugh, if you're the Bears, why... I don't understand why not back up the truck, go to the Bears. He wanted the job. I think he's a fucking moron in real life. But as far as a coach, a football coach, he is an excellent football coach. I don't want to hear him do interviews. I don't want to hear any of his weird bullshit and the mannerisms and all that other stuff. But he can get a team to play together, and that's what the Bears needed. And now they just threw it out the fucking window.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I could definitely see Harbaugh in with Redskins, but I kind of feel like Bieniemy's going to get a shot there.
Bieniemy might hop on down to Atlanta from when
maybe
what I'm hearing, which would be.
I mean, I could see Harbaugh in Atlanta,
which would be fun.
I could see Harbaugh in Atlanta too. To
be
honest,
if he gets Fields,
God, that would make me so happy for Harbaugh to go to Atlanta. Just so you have to deal with that shit all the time.
No, don't want that.
Let's
go for Bieniemy.
Can everybody put that on your vision board
to
have Harbaugh?
I'm already putting those thoughts out there.
No, I'm going to watch The Secret on DVD tonight. I'm going to shake this.
We're going to manifest the fuck out of this.
Eric Bieniemy down there. Joel, we'll get Justin Fields and then have a fun offense.
Go to the store and get some fucking construction paper. And
we have
and
some breaking news.
What do we got? What do we got?
Pete Carroll expected to be out as Seahawks coach.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Buddy of mine hit me up, who's a diehard Seattle fan. Shockingly, all the Seattle fans actually wanted him out of there. And I can't believe it, but he's also 72 years old.
He may remain in the organization, just not as the head coach.
I was going to say, man, at 72, because he doesn't look it. And he's got the fucking attitude and that youthful, you know, shit to him that you would never guess that he's 72 years old, but he's 72.
Harbaugh to Seattle?
When you don't have the stress. When you don't have the stress.
They're similar coaches. I mean, they're both West Coast offense guys.
And right? You're inheriting a great fucking team in Seattle. All you need is a quarterback there, and I think you're off to the races. Or give Drew Lock a shot. I wouldn't mind seeing it. He was all right, and then they benched him. I'd like to see him just with a full year, full team, all that talent, see what happens. But Seattle's a great landing spot for him, for Harbaugh, because that's a team that can win tomorrow.
Well, they're going to have which pick? They're going to have like 12, I think. Where is it?
Seattle.
16. So they're going to have the 16th pick. I mean, there will be quarterbacks left if they really want to take one. I don't know. And you could trade up too, to be honest. I mean,
oh man, there'll be there's more than a few Seahawks fans that are going to be hard on to get Penix to.
Oh, dude.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Could you imagine?
Fuck that.
Yeah, I know. Well, fuck. Absolutely fuck that. But you never know.
I know. And at 16, he'll be there.
So the other part of all this shifting around, well, there's four big pieces right now that I can see. One is Bieniemy and where he might end up.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rivera's not going to coach next year, I wouldn't think. He's not.
He already got fired.
I mean, like in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's been very good lately. He'll get another job at some point just because there's nobody else to do it, but whatever.
Yeah.
Bieniemy. And then there is Harbaugh and where he ends up. And then there's what's going to happen with Belichick and whether my assumption is that he's going to go somewhere and then Vrabel's going to take over the Patriots. That's what makes the most sense, right?
You want to talk about firing a coach too soon? Vrabel should not have been fired from the Titans. I think it's the worst fucking mistake of all time.
Here's what I think. I think that was probably mutual, to be honest. Because if you listen to the owner talking about it, he goes, yeah, that was a really hard decision. We didn't really want to do it and blah, blah, blah. Tennessee knows they're not going to be competitive. Derrick Henry's going to leave.
He's gone.
Right? The defense is in shambles. They're using geriatric receivers right now and shit like that. So I think they're doing Vrabel a favor. I did too.
Because Vrabel's a great coach.
And they're not going to trade to bring Belichick down there to another shitty team. That's not in the cards for them. And that's what they talked about with the owner of the Titans said that. He was like, yeah, we thought about trading Vrabel somewhere to a competitive team or whatever the fuck, but he's got to be on board with that decision too. Like, it's not like trading a player where you can just do it.
No.
Every coach has a no-trade clause.
Right.
Like, that's the league rule. So
unless they want to go there. The other thing too is you got to give up a first-round pick. Yeah. So if you're New England, no, you're not giving up that pick.
Mm. No, let's look at the picks that are – closer to the bottom.
One of the hot names too is going to be Ben Johnson, the offense coordinator for the Lions.
Yeah, he's
Bieniemy.
Bieniemy
Johnson.
I could see if let's just say for shits and gigs, if Buffalo gets embarrassed this weekend, then I could see that dude the fuck out of there and Belichick going to Buffalo where they have like the 30th pick or 29th pick or some shit. I would give up that first round pick for Belichick.
I would take Josh Allen in this team for sure.
And then Chargers. The Redskins have two first round picks. One of them is
and $85 million in cap space. So they're gonna do some damage.
I mean, I would love to see with Brian Robinson and the receivers they have and Sam Howell there, and then bring in Belichick into that situation. I would like to see that.
Scary Terry. Oh shit! Another fucking
Jahan Dotson. Fucking they've got a really solid squad there, man.
Terry McLaurin, another offensive rookie of the year from Ohio State. He had another 1,000-yard season with like 19 different quarterbacks over the last 3 years. It's nuts.
You know what the most impressive 1,000-yard season was this year is Garrett Wilson. He
really?
1,000 yards on the fucking Jets.
No way.
And here's how I know.
Did he have 1,000 yards?
Oh yeah, dude.
What was the final number?
Hang on.
That would be fucking insane.
He had 1,042 yards. But here's how you know, and 11 touchdowns. right? I think. No, that's not right. How many touchdowns? No, he only had four touchdowns. Yeah. Here's how you know how impressive this is. So I think the league average for catch percentage, that is how many catches you had divided by how many targets, mm-hmm. right, is something like 71%. Yep. Like 71% of the time you throw to a receiver, they catch the ball. For him, it was like 54%. That's how bad his quarterbacks were. Because Garrett Wilson doesn't drop balls. No. That's not the problem. There's no drops there. He doesn't fumble. He doesn't drop.
There was two or three times where he tipped the ball to himself out of a cornerback's hands just to catch the fucking ball.
Yeah, it was...
I can't believe he had 1,000 yards. That's nuts, man.
168. I'm sorry, 56.5%. 56.5% of the time when they threw him the ball, there was an actual reception, or threw it in his direction. That's the worst I've ever seen. I think I would have to go into Elias and look that up, or ask Ryan Spader could probably figure it out. But that's the worst I've ever heard of. Cause like, if you look at the Tyreek Hill was like 77%.
Right. So that means Scary Terry, 1,000 out of Ohio State, Olave, 1,000, Garrett Wilson, 1,000. None of these teams had good quarterbacks.
So
not
for
one,
let's see.
Olave, David Carr, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, Scary Terry was a bad one too. 60%, only 60%.
Jesus,
they're at the bottom. So you're talking about some of the best receivers on earth. Garrett Wilson's one of the best receivers I've ever seen.
Same here. I was so pissed when the Falcons didn't take him.
But he's going to have Aaron Rodgers next year, so that could be cool.
Hopefully, it could be.
Yeah,
we'll see if he stays healthy.
But D Hop is going to go somewhere else. That was a 1-year deal, right?
Yeah,
that he signed. So he had 1,000 yards too. He's going to go somewhere. He was under 60% as well. There's a bunch of really good receivers who had shitty quarterbacks that still put up 1,000 yards that are available. So it's going to be really interesting to see how everything moves around this
year.
Pat
Mahomes better restructure that fucking contract and get some receivers.
Any of those guys. I mean, they can definitely get D Hop. D Hop's going to come at a fucking.
They could have got him last year and they didn't do it.
He's going to come at a decent discount, I think. And then the big one, though, is Ja'Marr Chase is a free agent.
Ooh.
So is T. Higgins.
He back in the truck for Ja'Marr Chase. Can they afford that, though?
If he restructures, yeah.
Because remember they couldn't afford Tyreek Hill on the Chiefs because they gave Mahomes all that money?
Well, Tyreek Hill asked for way more money than what he's worth, in my opinion.
Well, he got it, and he just made the Pro Bowl, and how many fucking yards? Dude.
1,700 yards in back-to-back seasons.
1,800 yards he had this year.
I don't know if anybody's ever done that before. 1,700 in back-to-back seasons?
God damn, dude. That's nuts.
Anyways.
13 touchdowns. 1,799 yards and 119 receptions. Mm-hmm. I think he was hurt. I think he missed
two games.
I mean, holy shit. He would have shattered everything. All right, we'll get to the sponsors here real quick, and then we'll get to our picks for the week. I got to fucking make up some ground here. That I got buried on Monday night. First and foremost, mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. I praise them on Monday, and I said, man, it's awesome that you can cash out your tickets and then bet on another team if you want and change your mind after fucking 5 months of holding a national championship ticket. I lost it all. Ugh. Lost all of it. No blanks. No blanks for me. I'm going to do better this week, okay?
Well, I mean, it is awesome that is available.
It is.
And for this very reason, actually. Like, to me, gambling, you're the gambling version of a Cowboys fan.
Well, I fucking Delco'd myself, dude. I faded myself, and I shouldn't have done it. And damn it, man. Whatever. I love my bookie, man. It's one of my favorite sites. Our contract, speaking of contracts, is up with them coming up here. I hope we stay. I really like this site. I love using it, and I'm on it, more than Pornhub, it says here on my phone, which is nice. So,
oh no, they exercised Chase's 5th-year deal, so he's good. But T. Higgins and who's the other guy there?
Tyler Boyd.
Yeah. I think they're both free agents, so they're gonna have to figure some shit out.
But speaking of those guys, look, you can do prop bets on all your favorite players over there as well, over on mybookie.com. And you can watch the games. So if you're trying to avoid Peacock, just want to click that thing because they're overseas and nobody can stop them over there. It's fucking awesome. Big fan of them. Loved gambling with them. Me losing is my own fucking fault, not theirs. Next up, we got drinkabrostickets.com. If you want tickets to any of these games, these playoff games that are coming up this weekend. We got them all. Look, if you're down in Houston, shit, tickets are $120. If you want to go and watch a playoff game, it's going to be a good one down there. All these games are really fucking good. Chiefs tickets. Chiefs tickets are the lowest I've ever seen for a playoff game. But we have our answer why. It's going to be fucking 8 degrees with the wind chill. Who knows? Minus 80. Those are going for $65 right now. So, you know, you want to head on out to see your favorite team. It's fun. Dan and I went. It was minus 18 in the Chiefs stadium. I'm telling you, weather in that stadium doesn't matter because you're all packed in together and it's loud as fuck. The booze is awesome. Great atmosphere. Oh, shit. It says it's going to be 2 degrees now.
Mm.
2 degrees at kickoff.
Is that the air temperature or the wind chill?
No, that's the actual temperature. I don't know what the wind chill is going to be.
Let's look it up. Kansas City.
Oh,
weather.
Shit, dude. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be, oh, God.
What's the wind chill?
Negative 10.
Oh, you and I were negative 18 that game.
Let me see at game time.
It didn't, it didn't prevent, because that was the game, that was Mahomes versus Brady that went to overtime, and it was like 38-31 or something like that. So it didn't stop them from scoring a shit ton of points. It was fun. And if you are going to these games, tailgating-wise, go grab a 12-pack of Hard AF Seltzer. All right? Go to hardafseltzer.com. Click on the store locator. Find the store nearest you. Texas is live. So the two states that are new-ish are, three, actually. Shit, Ohio and Texas. Those won't be up probably until the end of the month over there. I can tell you this. Texas, because I just got the list late last night. Every single Total Wines is now stocked.
In the entire state?
Yes.
Okay.
So San Antonio, Dallas, Austin, Houston, all of those are stocked at Total Wine, so you can go to any single Total Wine. There's something called Pogo's, too. I don't know what the fuck that is. It's a convenience store. They just picked up a bunch, so you can head on down there. If you're in Ohio and you're fucking raging, fucking head on down to 14&0 Liquors on campus there. Urban Meyer's Pint House will be packed. Pint House in the Short North will be packed down there. Always serving Hard AF Seltzer. Georgia, Alabama, we're in all the Piggly Wigglies. And all that fun stuff down there. Florida. Damn, dude. We're in all the Total Wines and all this shit. We're everywhere. I feel like we're starting to get everywhere here, and it's all because of you guys. Grab a 12-pack. If not, we still ship right to your house. Alex Chichoff just ordered a case and fucking opened the box. We still do that. So 36 states. Hopefully, we will get out of that by the end of this year, and we'll be everywhere. But we'll see. All right? Go to hardafseltzer.com, support us, and support the show. Mm. Next up, we got bioproteintech.com. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you $30 off your first order. What is it? What is BioPro Plus? It's HGH, son. Just a little liquid amount. No need for needles. No need for doctors. Get away from that big pharma synthetic bullshit here. This just comes in a nice little vial. You put it right underneath your tongue right before nine-nine time. And you'll feel a little sting. And you know it's working right there. Great sleep. Excellent for recovery. Anybody who's over the age of 35, I'm almost there. Getting really goddamn close. You need this. Your hormones suck at that age, and most guys are focused on testosterone, but that's only half the puzzle over there. That's where BioPro Plus comes in. BioPro Plus gives you back those growth factors naturally, giving you HGH-like results with zero needles. Again, zero side effects and zero doctor visits, man. It's great. I've been taking this shit for, about 3 or 4 months now. Get an excellent night's sleep. Sometimes it's so deep that I don't even want to wake up and take my kids to school. I'm just like, don't bother me, okay? Find it. Just figure it out on a map, even my five-year-old, all right? Great sleep and really helps you with recovery on workouts and all that other stuff. Some of the best in the biz. Real guys, real results, really fucking fast over there. So head on over to bioproteintech.com to learn more or click the link in the audio description here and use promo code Drinking Bros for $30 off your first order. Again, go to bioproteintech.com and use the promo code Drinking Bros for $30 off your first order. Let's get to this week's picks, shall we? First up, I love all of these games, by the way. These are all a fucking blast. My wife is going to hate me this weekend. because this is just wall-to-wall football. I love all these matchups. There's not one that isn't entertaining. Browns at the Texans there. Deshaun Watson, well, he's going home. He'll be in a box, I would imagine, or a suite.
I don't know if they're even going to bring him.
I think they do.
Risky, dude.
I know.
He may have a warrant here.
We'll see. Look, this is Cleveland -2.5. Over-under is 44.5. Who do you got here?
Cleveland, probably. I mean, I know it's an away game for them, but their defense is way better. And, you know, the Texans' run game is not great.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Singletary's been okay, but he's Joe Flacco is a fucking stalwart guy, you know?
Right.
He's been there before. C.J. Stroud, we don't know how he's – I mean, this is just smart money. We don't know how he's going to perform in this situation. So my money would be on Cleveland to win this.
I agree. So, look, Stroud has had an excellent season. He's clearly the rookie of the year. He's got 4,100 yards, 23 TDs, and only 5 picks in the season. Goddamn, what a season. This Texans team is a blast to watch. However, Brown's defense has been really fucking good. Flacco seems to be re-energized. He looks like he's fucking 28 years old again, just hanging 300-yard games left and right. I think this spread is exactly where it should be because I think it's going to be a close game. And I think Cleveland will win by a field goal. So I'm going to take Cleveland because it is -2.5 here, and it's just being smart with it. I love what the Texans have done. You've got an exciting future there, and it's going to be really fucking fun down there in Houston for years and years to come, but I just don't think they can beat this defense. Myles Garrett's going to be a fucking monster in this game. Next up, blast. This is on Peacock, though. Well, grab a friend if you don't want to pay for Peacock, but it is going to be exclusively on Peacock and nowhere else. Just give me the heads up on that. That's Dolphins at the Chiefs. This is Chiefs -4. I see what you did there, Vegas, and I hate it. Who you got in this one?
You know, I meant to look and see how Tua plays in cold weather if he does, if he has a long record of that. Because that would be the thing that...
He doesn't have a long track record, but he did play well in Buffalo. I think it was last year, the year before, I remember.
He has lost each of the 5 coldest starts of his career.
Has he really?
Yeah. He has 5 touchdowns and 7 interceptions in those
matches.
I
mean, he doesn't have a very strong arm.
Well, shit. Well, that doesn't matter because he's not throwing the ball very far anyways.
All you have to do is throw it to Tyreek and let him run.
Yeah.
This game was close over in Germany, but this is a lot different than Germany, kids. that -4, though, just is a real kick in the dick. I'd like to see KC winning by a field goal.
To be honest, I think the Dolphins might win this game.
Really?
Yeah. No. KC, they don't have, who are they going to throw to?
Chiefs at home? No.
I don't see it. I don't think the Chiefs are 5-4 at home this year.
But in this weather,
it's going to be the coldest it's going to get is on Saturday.
-8. So you just said it was going
to be -6. So that would be at night. So during the day,
this game is
a night. It's a night game.
O'clock.
Oh, it's a night game. Yeah. So the real feel is -14.
There you go. So all in on the Chiefs, kids.
No,
all in
on the Chiefs. Why?
I don't see them losing.
The Dolphins have the better short pass game, and they have the better run game.
I can't bet against Mahomes.
And also, like the Buffalo has a great defense, right? And they just strangled fucking the Dolphins, especially after those 2 scores. Like they got nothing done.
Yeah.
The Chiefs also a pretty elite defense.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good defense. Chris Jones having another fantastic year, and they were able to hold them to 14 points in Germany.
And the Dolphins are soft on defense. I mean, they've got good players on defense, but their squad is soft.
Defense is fine, and they do run the ball pretty well. But yeah, man, I just think Tua's not good enough.
I agree.
Will McDaniel have the balls to bench in mid-game and put in Mike White?
We're not doing that.
Mike White from New York Jets?
Nah, I'm not doing that. But I'm all in on the Chiefs here, and this will be in teasers and all the fun stuff as well. Interesting side note, both over-unders on Saturday are 44.5, which is very odd to me. I thought the Chiefs would have been higher, I guess.
Well, 4 points is too much for this. I don't trust the Chiefs to score points. What the fuck, man?
They don't
have anybody to throw to. What did they sign some receivers last week?
Look, it's just Mahomes in the playoffs. I'm not going to do it. Opening rounds, no way. No way. And when it's -8, no. I'm doing it. Look, are you taking the Dolphins in? Are you taking the 4 points?
I'll probably tease it up to to 10 or 11. Yeah, we'll see. It'll
yeah, you can do 10 or 11.
Yeah.
My bookie lets you do all that shit. Next up, Sunday games. Man, bangers, dude, just all day long. Steelers at the Bills. I know what you're saying. Hey, the Steelers fucking suck, and they don't have a quarterback, and they can't score points. No TJ Watt here. But still, man, this to me will determine whether or not my sprinkle 3 weeks ago on Buffalo to make it to the Super Bowl will come true. Very low over under here, 36.5.
We're all Bills fans here.
We are. We're all Bills fans, but this is Bills minus 10. I'm going to take this down a half a point and go Buffalo minus 9.5. Who you got?
Steelers plus 10.
Okay. Look, it's a lot of points, especially for a playoff game. I understand it.
I actually might make an all dog teaser parlay, to be honest.
I was this close to hitting one like 3 weeks ago. I was one team away.
In the first round, you know, it's easier. The only dog that I'm not confident in is Packers, but I think with a teaser, they might be able to fucking get in there. Because it's, well, we'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. But that's, yeah, I'm going to go Buffalo minus 9.5. Just too many unknowns for Pittsburgh. And TJ Watt is out. So, like, he's not playing. It's not even a game time decision. He's fucking out. I like how his brother came online and just told everybody what it was. I'm sure Mike Tomlin's super amped about that. Where he just goes, look, it's mild MCL sprain. He's going to be out for 2 weeks. And he was like, thanks, shitbag. Let him, you know, study film on TJ and let's not say anything too late.
Well, sorry, I mean, they still got Alex Highsmith out there.
They got a great defense, but, you know, they're missing their best dude and their leader.
Fitzpatrick is banged up too. So,
Next up, 3:30, Packers, Cowboys. Let's fucking go here. This is Dallas minus 7.5, over under 50.5. Oh boy. Oh my. Who you got in this one?
To be honest, I kind of think that minus 7.5 is low for this. But I'm glad that's where it is because I wouldn't bet it otherwise. But I'll probably take a point and go to 6.5.
For Dallas?
Yeah, because I think Dallas is going to win this game by 10, but we'll see.
Look, Jordan Love has had an amazing year. The future's bright in Green Bay, but Cowboys have been on a roll here. And I don't think the Packers are that great. Let's face it. They were 9-8 this year. Mm. Backdoored their way into the playoffs. I think the Cowboys cover this pretty easily. And I'm on the Cowboys. Plus, I want them to get to the NFC Championship. I want that to happen for the Cowboys fans. And then I want them to lose badly to the 49ers in that game and then crush their hopes and dreams.
Yeah. No. Last second field goal by 49ers.
100%.
I don't want them to be able to check out.
I want it to double doink, too. Like, I want all the things on that field goal.
You want like a Kawhi, like, last second.
Oh, God, it'd be great.
Yeah, like, they're down two, and the kicker that they brought in that's been, like, perfect all year.
Yeah,
finally misses.
Oh, that's right. Well, he just made the Pro Bowl today.
He missed two in the last game of the season, but then he made one after. So there's no
okay.
He doesn't have the yips or nothing.
We'll see.
He was also 6 for 6 over 50 yards this year.
He just got named to the Pro Bowl. He's the best kicker in the league right now.
Not just this year, because that Missouri kid is going to be the best next year. Right?
Well, Justin Tucker's still hanging around.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll see what Meavis does, but Tucker is he's hard to
he's the GOAT
supplant. Yeah,
he's the GOAT. Yeah, but I don't know what's he doing right now.
Whoa, not let's.
He's on Baltimore.
Let's not sleep on Matt Prater, even though he missed two field goals against the.
I'm not doing Prater. Okay. I'm not doing Predator. It's Justin Tucker and then this kid for Dallas. Look, he was first team all pro here. All right, next up is Rams at the Lions. Another fuck. Thank God you put this on at night.
I'm sorry.
Two.
He was 10 for 10 from 50 plus this year.
Yeah.
He's incredible. Holy shit. Justin Tucker is not even in the top 10.
No, because, I mean, they scored touchdowns. They didn't need him for field goals this year. Baltimore just scored fucking endless touchdowns. He probably had 90 extra points.
51. Jake Moody from the 49ers had the most, and then Sanders from Miami, obviously. They're high-scoring teams. But Tucker was third.
Jake Moody, by the way, if there's a weakness on the 49ers, it's Jake Moody. I could see him missing late and fucking up that team. But these tickets for Detroit, holy shit. This is the highest price I've ever seen for the Detroit Lions ever. $400 for the last row in the stadium there.
For starting
Stafford and Goff.
For starting kickers, Moody was like 1, 2, 3, 4, the sixth least scoring of all.
He fucking sucks.
Like, yeah, he's...
I had him in fantasy.
I think he's only got like an 84 percentage,
too. I had to drop him, dude. But this is Detroit -3, over under 51.5. I love all of this. Who you got in this one?
Fucking Rams +3, dude. Woo! The Rams are gonna boat race the line. Are you kidding me?
This is the game that determines whether or not the Cowboys go to the Super Bowl.
Why is that?
Because the Rams can beat them and the Lions can't.
And the Rams, if they win, the bracket reorganizes every round,
uh-huh.
right?
Mm, yeah, yes. That's right.
So, and it goes high. It goes the
lowest
highest,
seed to the yeah, highest. Yep. So that means the Rams get the 49ers, who they always give fucking problems to. Rams beat the 49ers. Go to the championship game. Dallas cruises through the other side, beats the Rams. They're in the fucking Super Bowl. If I'm a Cowboys fan, as soon as the Cowboys beat the Packers, I am glued to this game, cheering with my entire life for the fucking Rams.
Yep. I've also got the Rams in this one. I think.
But if the Lions win, then the Eagles, if they win, have to play the 49ers on a short week.
Short week
sucks, dude.
If we win,
who the fuck?
Well, we'll
thought
get
that
to it.
Shit up, man.
We'll get to it. I'm taking the Rams as well. Look, this is the. I think it's the last game for the coach.
Championship pedigree.
Yep.
Right. Better defense. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson's really good. Don't get me wrong. They got great players. They got some good people in the secondary over there at Detroit as well. But man, when it's big time, look at what happened throughout the season. Towards the end of the season, like earlier this year, we were like, the Rams, fuck them, Rams are done already.
Oh, I put the Lions on fraud alert. I was like, I'll never fucking bet this team the rest of the year, including now. But
there's a reason Jared Goff is in Detroit and not LA, frankly, and it's because he can't win big games.
So Stafford's probably his last game. McVay, probably his last game. Mm. Maybe Aaron Donald's last game. I there's no fucking way. I've got the Rams, dude. They're going to win this game.
Yeah.
We're going to win this game, but it's going to be a blast to watch, and I'm super amped about it. So give me the 3 points there, and let's fucking go. I might buy a half a point just so I don't push, just in case. But give me the over in this game, too, 51.5. Let's do it. I think they'll be slanging it around, slanging that dick around, dude. Let's go. Last but not least here. Oh, boy, Delco. Oh, boy. Monday night. Eagles at... the Buccaneers. It is Baker's Oven down there. Baker's Oven. This is Eagles -3. Shit, dude. I mean, I thought this spread would be a lot higher.
So Baker Mayfield is 1-5 in his career on Monday Night Football. The end. The end. He's got a 52 for his career, a 52% completion percentage. And he averages 201.7 yards a game, 6.4 yards per pass, and 1.2 touchdowns and 1.3 interceptions per game on Monday night. He's going to lose. I don't care how bad the fucking Eagles are. He's going to lose. Maybe by half a point and take it to 2.5 in case it's a field goal. But
I agree. That's where I live, is at 2.5 here. Eagles, even I don't care how injured they are, how dog shit they've looked. The last
playoffs are the playoffs, man. It's still
playoffs are the playoffs, and it's still Baker Mayfield for a 9-8 Buccaneers team that backdoored their way into the fucking playoffs. So fuck it. Although there is going to be rain, which
not at night.
Okay, not at night.
I just checked. So, yeah, it's just some in the morning.
Okay. Who you got here, Delco? This is your team.
My team versus my guy, though. You know,
That's fair. Yeah, it's a split. Baker. It's a split household, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
House divided. I'm gonna have to wear like both. What was it? The Brady Quinn's girlfriend or sister shirt.
Yep.
Where it's half Brady Quinn, half AJ
Hawk.
Yeah. Oh man. This seems like a spot though where it's like a dead cat bounce. We finally show up for one game only to then get embarrassed on national TV.
That's actually kinda how I feel. I feel like the Eagles are gonna beat the Christ out of Tampa Bay and everybody's gonna go, oh, they're fucking back, and they're gonna go to San Francisco next week and get fucking annihilated.
Yep.
Like really bad. That feels like what's going to happen right now.
Yes, I agree here. Over unders 43.5 feels low. Bobby said it's going to rain in the morning and not at night.
Yeah. I just checked. It should be fine at night.
And it should be fine at night. I'll probably take that over too. These are just set up too for beautiful fucking teasers on that Monday night, because I'm going to sink in and watch this fucking game. Every game is awesome, dude. Man, look, for as dog shit as the product has been for the NFL for the last, I don't know, 7-8 weeks, we got an amazing first round of playoffs here all the way down the
floor. A lot of narratives, too.
Tons, man. I'm looking forward to it. Bob, who do you got in this Eagles game? What do you think is going to happen to these fuckers?
Dude, Baker's going to bake.
Do you really think they're going to win this fucking game?
I'm taking Baker.
Are you really?
I'm taking Baker.
Damn, dude.
Money line.
We're a fucking disaster right now. Fire the whole staff.
What would happen with the Buccaneers then? Where would they go if they did win this game? Let's entertain this.
So if the Bucs win this game, then it would still be the Rams to
the Rams
Niners.
Won.
What?
Yeah, if the Rams win and the Bucs win.
If the Rams win and the Bucs win, then it's still Rams Niners.
So then it would be Bucs Cowboys.
Yeah. Telling you, man, Dallas is going to get a nice little pass.
I got to be honest.
Sure are, dude.
I'll say this, though. If by some miracle Baker takes down the Cowboys, I'll never say a bad word about him again. Just because the hype is so high for Dallas right now, if Baker fucking Mayfield in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
dude comes down there and fucking rips Dallas's heart out. I'll never say another fucking negative word about
it. That is the other great. Like, it's either what's going to happen is they're going to make it to the Super Bowl and lose to probably not even the fucking Ravens. It's probably like a down Kansas City team or like the Browns. Like, it'll be hilarious like that. Or they'll lose to Baker.
All right, I'll take this a step further. Okay, if Baker wins on Monday night and brings down the Eagles. For the rest of the year on this show, I will buy a Baker Mayfield jersey, have it overnighted, and then I will wear it for every NFL prediction show for the rest of the year, including the Super Bowl. All right? That's what I can guarantee you there. Because I don't think they're going to win this fucking game. There's just no way. This is all Eagles all day. This is an easy bet. This seems like easy fucking
But how
money.
Funny would it be if Baker just carved up the NFC East?
It would be unbelievable.
God damn it,
it
man.
I would laugh endlessly, but... Yeah, if he did, shit, he would cement that big boy contract, too. Not that he's probably not getting it, but who's going to pay it? Do you think the Buccaneers pay this guy?
Yeah.
Why would you not bring him
back?
Well,
they're in the playoffs, so they're not going to get a good fucking draft pick. You got to bring him back for 1 year.
Right.
And see what happens.
And you can get him for like $25, $30 million a year compared to paying someone that's on his level at $45, $50 million.
Just say that number out loud again, dude.
He had a good year.
$25 to $30
million. He really did have a pretty good year.
He had an awesome year.
I know he did. He had a pretty good year. But, I mean, I'm just... Can you imagine that? $25 or $30 million.
He threw for more yards than Patrick Mahomes.
I understand that. It's just the receivers that he had. I mean, look, take him. He'll never win.
His salary for this year combined $6.6 million.
With all the incentives?
Yeah. And if he gets like a 3-year, $25 million a year deal, then that will be more than his current career earnings. That one deal will.
Yep.
Which is, you know, that happens, I guess, but...
For sure.
Oof, boy.
Boy, man. Either way, it's going to be a blast. And then the following weekend, there'll be 2 games on Saturday, 2 games on Sunday, as we head down the home stretch here. Before we get out of here, though, Clark, our buddy Clark, that piece of shit Clark
Pennington.
Yep. He hit me up, and he goes, hey, man... I'm telling this story as a word of caution to all of you out there who are delusional about your teams going to either the national championship or the Super Bowl or something like that. Don't buy your tickets this early for this fucking shit. So he hits me up and he goes, hey man, I need 4 tickets to the Super Bowl. And I was like, Jesus Christ, Clark, that's a lot of fucking money. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what do you think they are? Like $2,500 a piece? I go, in what world? Like, are you talking about this Super Bowl, or are you talking about the lingerie bowl? Because this is Super Bowl.
The cheapest ticket available right now is $6,000.
$8,000.
Nope. $6,000 on the resale sites.
Oh, well.
$6,100.
You have to include
those
fees.
But that's like the...
Yes, but you're also got to include those fees. So with the fees, you're looking at $7,500, $8,000 a ticket.
Well, who is he buying them for? Is it for the Independence Fund?
Nope. It's for his kids.
This is not the year for that.
Oh, hang on. So I go, forgive me, man, because we never really got into this because we were at the Super Bowl with him last year. Yeah. And I go, who's your team? And he goes, it's Baltimore. It's Baltimore's year. They're going to win the Super Bowl. He goes, they're definitely going. So I need tickets.
I think he's right, actually. But we'll see.
I said, just hang on. Because I go, Baltimore is not the city that travels and pays an exorbitant amount of money for tickets.
If it's Baltimore and anybody other than the 49ers, it'll be a reasonably priced ticket.
So here's what I told him. I go, dude,
if it's the Cowboys. It'll go up if it's the Cowboys.
Look, the ultimate nightmare, I go, Baltimore is not the big draw here. It's either going to be the 49ers or the Cowboys. If one of those two teams gets in, those tickets will be $15,000 a piece.
12 at least.
At least.
Yeah.
How many teams realistically in the playoffs now could you see win the Super Bowl? Is it three?
I could see Dallas if they don't fucking beef it. I could see the 49ers and Ravens. Yeah, three. Those are the only ones that I've really given any.
Anyone else is a surprise?
Yes. Anyone else would be a surprise.
Anyone else would be a shock at this point. Beyond the 40, like even pin me to one, the 49ers, that would be a shock. Just because of how stacked their defense is.
If Mahomes could just like figure it out this off or the during the postseason,
that's always the X factor.
I don't think that
wouldn't surprise me.
I don't think it's that he doesn't have it figured out. He doesn't have anyone to throw to.
Yeah, he doesn't have the receivers.
But like it's, you know,
or a running back.
When you Pacheco's
not bad,
but he only had like 850 yards. Right, it's not that great. He also only rushed the ball 200 times. So I don't know what the fuck else they're even doing there. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think Baltimore is as strong against the competition in the AFC as the 49ers are against the competition in the NFC, because the NFC has two really good teams, or they have at least one other really good team, which is the Cowboys, right? There's no team that's playing really well in the AFC except for Baltimore.
But
I think they have a clear, even a clearer path than the 49ers, probably.
Lamar Jackson is probably the MVP. It's either him or McCaffrey.
It'll probably be Lamar. When's the last? Well, that would be a second too.
And I agree, but I think it's asking a lot of him because he doesn't have any receivers either. He's got Zay Flowers, who's having a great rookie year.
He's got OBJ, who's like
in moments,
OBJ is good. And then Isaiah Likely, their fucking tight end, is
their
really
backup
good.
Tight end is really fucking good. Isaiah Likely, he's great.
That's probably, I mean, if especially against AFC teams, they're going to run
the
ball. They're probably going to run that two set.
Lamar Jackson can never win in Baltimore. Tag
1-3. He's 1-3 in the playoffs.
No,
so we'll
I'm not.
See.
He would have to win. He would have to win this year. I just don't see it. I told Clark. I go, hey man, just wait. Wait until to see if they go, because
if they play well in that second round game, and Lamar wins the game, then I'm Baltimore
all the way.
Not to win, but to be in the Super Bowl.
Bowl. Okay.
But I need to see him win a postseason game first.
Right.
The 49ers, I have no such qualms.
Right.
That's like the most, to be honest, this year's 49ers team is probably the most loaded football team we've ever seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have we ever seen a team, like, even with Brock Purdy as quarterback, and it's because he's Mr. Irrelevant, not because he's not playing well. Has anybody ever had this amount of talent on both sides of the ball?
I can't remember it in recent memory.
Like,
I mean,
you've got fucking defensive MVP candidates, three of them on one side.
That's nuts.
Then you have, like, at least two legit MVP candidates on the offensive side.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, it would be a shock if they didn't win at all at this point. But
by the way, Isaiah Likely
is starting
because Andrews is on the IR.
Correct. But he's eligible to come back, I think, for the Super Bowl.
Maybe, yeah.
Or the last round of the playoffs. So we'll see. Quick updates here. Pete Carroll is out as coach and will be an advisor. So that's came to fruition here in the last hour. And good for him. Great career there.
Giants fired their DC.
Well, Wink Martindale cussed out the coach, told him to fuck off. That's a crazy saga up there in New York. So he's out of there. And then there was that Bills fan who got in that fight outside that Dolphins game, and I'm dying. So
wait, what are you talking about?
It was a fucking crazy fight outside of the game, outside that Dolphins Bills game. And this guy got shot, and he's dead. So yeah, he did end up dying.
That's fucking stupid.
Yeesh.
Don't die over a fucking football game. That's really dumb.
I heard about this story, but
there's probably more important shit going on.
Yeah. It says Amari Cooper's ready to return from the heel injury. So shit, he'll be good to go for that playoff game.
I expected that. Cooper's a fucking good player, man.
It's great. He's had a great career. Thanks for tuning in, kids. We'll be live on Drinking Bros Podcast here in about 5 minutes on Patreon. What do you think? 5, 10? You got to edit this and pop it out, right?
6 months. Probably.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it shouldn't be too long, but right. I imagine what we're going to talk about is a certain amount of tunnels.
Oh, the Jewish tunnels.
Yeah. Jew York.
That.
The name of the show will be Jew York. Jew York.
Exactly. Let's call it that. Yeah. And then Hunter Biden walking out of the committee today. What the fuck?
Did you see the guy was like, hey, Hunter, what kind of crack do you usually smoke?
We're going to show all of that on Patreon. So join us over there. As always, go to iTunes, rate the show 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star, and you can walk away at that point. Thanks for joining us, kids. For Dan and Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the NFL Wild Card Pick'em Show. Good night, everyone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.